When a child is treated for cancer and they're finally declared cancer-free, you'd think that would mean the end of the cancer journey. They're now a survivor instead of a patient. But for most childhood cancer survivors, returning to school doesn't mean the end of the road for them.
Among the estimated 600,000 childhood cancer survivors in the nation, two-thirds of them experience serious and even life-threatening secondary effects from toxic treatments like radiation and chemotherapy that they received as kids. Colin Presler was just 3 years old when he was diagnosed with acute lymphatic leukemia, and he says he doesn't remember a lot of the treatment process.
I would like to say that it wasn't as bad as if I were older, because my parents had it not necessarily easier, but it was easier to have me cooperate since I didn't necessarily understand all the implications that were going on. I didn't know that I could die from the cancer. I didn't really process that, but one of the things, I hated needles. So I was still pretty terrified of that.
And Sarah Okot, who's now 33, spent years in treatment at Phoenix Children's Hospital when she was a child.
At the age of 8, I was diagnosed with stage 4 Wilms tumor that was metastasized pretty much all over my body, between my neck and all over my heart and lungs, all the way down to the lowest part of my abdomen.
She now works as a certified child life specialist at the hospital.
Now, the survival rate for childhood cancers is very good. In 2017, it was around 84%. But that also means the hundreds of thousands of survivors have to be vigilant about their health for the rest of their lives. That's why Phoenix Children's Hospital has a specialized program for these survivors to catch any of these later effects and research them to best help survivors as they grow older.
I sat down with Okot and Presler at the hospital to hear more about their experiences as survivors of childhood cancer, as well as Dr. Alexa Walsh, who is the director of the Survivor Program there. And Walsh started by telling me about the ways in which these treatments can affect children differently.
Well, you know, the cancers are different, for one thing, and Colin had the most common type of childhood cancer, which is acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Our treatments are very successful, but the treatments are very intensive. The treatment lasts between 2.5 and 3 years. It involves, you know, at least monthly clinic visits, a lot of transfusions, a lot of different chemotherapy agents. And so a lot of our survivors have a lot of late effects in terms of their developing brain. So Colin was only 3 when he was diagnosed, so his brain was still under development. And then you bathe that in chemotherapy, and you're setting yourself up for late effects. Now, most of our survivors are doing fabulously despite all of this, but there are a minority that really need a lot of support and services. They need special education. They need special neuropsychological testing.
So, Colin, tell us, are you dealing with some of these late effects still, 10 years later?
As of right now, I don't know some of the effects because I haven't quite gotten to that age where they would come into play. I will see as I grow older.
Sarah?
I actually have dealt with a lot of the late effects from my treatment. One of the main ones is infertility. So not only am I not allowed to have my own biological children, I cannot get a donor egg or anything. My uterus and ovaries had a ton of radiation damage. And I see probably 9 to 13 different specialists because every single part of my body, my heart, my lungs, I have to see an endocrinologist. I have a lot of effects like high blood sugar, high glucose, my lungs are damaged. And I've actually had cancer 2 more times since I originally had cancer. And those, the colon cancer and the skin cancer are probably from the radiation damage 25 years ago.
So having been treated for cancer as a child can often lead to cancer again?
Actually, because of the radiation, we are very high risk for secondary cancers. I'm at very high risk for breast cancer, especially, and actually heart failure.
What's that like to live with? I mean, for both of you, I guess, because you're both sort of going to be looking at that reality. And you're so young as well, Colin. I wonder, is that like a constant worry?
Yeah, I make a joke all the time that every organ in my body is a ticking time bomb for another cancer to come back. And so I'm just very vigilant. And I really push my doctors to do tests that maybe they would not normally do with people my age, just because I know my risks. I know the research, and I know that I've actually been very vigilant and been a voice and advocate for myself. Without me asking for a colonoscopy earlier than I did, I probably would have had more than a stage 1 colon cancer a couple years ago.
How widespread is this? You're working with, I think it said 600 patients here?
Yeah, so we have 650 patients who have signed consent to be part of our research database. We see on average about 350 plus survivors per year here at PCH. So, you know, I think Sarah has a great point that while she is a very outspoken advocate for herself, a lot of our patients aren't, and they really need the tools to take with them to go to their doctors and say, these are the risks, because Sarah's very young looking and vibrant looking. You would never know that there is some of this damage. Some of the interesting research that I'm interested in is showing us that really the effects of childhood cancer treatments is almost like an aging process. So it's almost like you accelerate what you might see in a 50 or 60-year-old to a 30 or 40-year-old. So there's a lot of research to be done. We don't know everything, and we have a great resource here at PCH to learn more.
So you're finding some of the new things from that. I wonder, what research would you like to see happen? I mean, what are some of your questions that are unanswered as a physician?
I mean, here we're looking at the effects of iron overload, which is a newer area of research. I'm very interested in the damage that the liver gets. That's a little bit less widely understood and known. And then I think going into the future, there's a misconception, or at least I believe it is, that our therapies, as they're changing, they're going to cause no side effects in the future. So we have a lot of these newer therapies that you may have seen in the news about antibody therapies and immune therapies. And the hope is, we all hope that those will cause fewer side effects, but we don't really know that. So as we have more patients who are treated with them, we have to follow them closely and then describe, you know, if we're seeing any of particular side effects. We really have to be vigilant, I think.
So on the flip side of what we were talking about before, about the challenges that this can create for children because they're developing when they're being treated, I wonder if there are also some advantages to having had cancer at such a young age, just in terms of resiliency?
I certainly see that as a survivorship doctor. I mean, most families that have gone through this journey, they feel that it has really brought them closer together. And, you know, they don't take anything for granted. They live life to the fullest, and they really appreciate it. So, yeah, I mean, there is a silver lining there. You never would wish anybody have this. But, it, you know, when I talk to newly diagnosed patients, you know, I can tell them that at the other end of this, there is a lot of hope. So the treatments are intensive, but at the other end of it, you know, there's a lot to be thankful for, and the research will continue to improve that, hopefully.
So, Sarah, how has this changed your life, I guess, having gone through this and dealt with it for so long?
I think growing up, I wasn't the typical kid, teenager, college student who would go out and drink, smoke. I never tried drugs. I think that's one of the biggest things, because health is so important, and I do have so many high risks to cancer now that you just kind of live differently. You don't take life for granted. You wear your seatbelt. You don't do anything that's too dangerous, and you learn to live each day to its fullest, and that you realize that life is short. You know, I had friends who did die of cancer here when I was when I had cancer, and so I felt like one of the lucky ones and one of the ones that, you know, I'm here for a reason. And so I love to work with places like Children's Cancer Network, Phoenix Children's Hospital, meet other past patients, volunteer at Camp Rainbow, and be able to give hope to other families who may have just got a diagnosis, and seeing somebody else who survived is really important to them.
Sounds like you're doing a lot of paying it forward now.
I am. Thank you.
And Colin, so you're still young, but these are things that are going to be, you might have to face for the rest of your life still. I wonder what you think you might have learned from this long process.
Well, I've learned that life isn't always there. It can go away. So you need to take it while you can. And for me, that's one of the things I'll probably carry with myself for the rest of my life. I'm going to put that into everything I do, all my school, all my learning, all my contributions I want to make, and all the time I spend with friends and family.
Colin, Sarah, Dr. Walsh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Alexa Walsh is the director of the Survivor Program at Phoenix Children's Hospital. Colin Presler and Sarah Okot are both childhood cancer survivors who were treated there.